Have you ever had a debt and somebody was kind enough to forgive you of that debt? And maybe it was a small thing, maybe it was a couple of bucks, or maybe it was lunch or something to that nature, or maybe it was a large debt. Maybe it was just something that you were either going to struggle to pay back, but then all of a sudden somebody, that person that you owed, came up to you and said, "Hey, look, don't worry about it at all. You are forgiven." So I want you to think about that, whether the situation was a small situation or a large situation. Maybe you have been the person that owed the debt, and then maybe you've been the person that somebody owed you before. Maybe you have experienced somebody forgiving you of a debt, or maybe you have been the person who has forgiven someone else of a debt. Either way, stick with us, grab your Bible, turn it to Luke's Gospel chapter 7, and join us as we look at the forgiveness of debt in the Scriptures. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Again, I trust that your day is going well, and we're so glad that you're joining us for this Bible study. As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's Gospel chapter 7. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over to that particular passage. Once again, we're continuing a look at the parables of Jesus, and I want us to just catch in just a couple of verses the concept that Jesus was trying to get across when it came down to some debt forgiveness. But I think at the end of this passage, past verse 43, there's a really big lesson that each and every one of us need to learn. So I'm hoping I'll be able to include that in our time today. But look with me, if you would, at our text for today, which is Luke chapter 7, verses 41 through 43. So Luke 7, verse 41 says, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him more?" Verse 43, "Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly judged.'" Let's look to the Lord in the word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, we come to you again, thanking you and praising you for this opportunity that we have to be able to gather around your word and to share. And Lord, we pray that we will learn. We ask that the Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and our lives. Lord, help us to draw closer to you through this time. And as always, Father, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you, we pray that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would be prevalent upon their life. But Lord, even more than that, we pray that they would surrender their life to you today and experience what true life and true love is really all about as we head for eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, bless our time. Bless me as your messenger for these moments. Help me, Lord, to lift you up, that you truly would draw all men unto you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this particular text today, this passage is part of Jesus' teaching on forgiveness as he's sitting down and he's having a meal with Simon, a Pharisee, and an uninvited woman who is a sinner who came to anoint Jesus' feet. So you kind of got the picture in your mind of what's going on and what is taking place. Now, here's one of the main points I want you to see, and when we're talking about the forgiveness of sin today, is that there was a difference between the two debts. When you look over there, particularly in verse 41, you see it. It says that one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Obviously, 500 is a whole lot more than 50. So there was one that actually had more debt than the other one, but both of them were in debt to this particular man who had either loaned them money or whatever the circumstance may be. At any rate, they owed him that money. One owed 500 denarii, the other owed 50. So let me ask this question. What two debts did Jesus point out in this particular parable? The two debts are the debt of the 500 and the debt of the 50, okay? The first debtor owed a greater amount compared to the one that was the second debtor. Now, the debt of 500 denarii, I want you to think about this in terms of symbolism today. The debt of that 500 denarii symbolizes the sin that we have committed against God, while the debt of 50 denarii represents the sins that we have committed against other people. Now, I want you to understand that sin is sin in the sight of God. I mean, what we often want to do is we often want to categorize them, and we often want to say, well, this one's worse than that one. And I understand that. But what you have to understand is that sin is simply sin in the sight of God. All sin is bad. But when we think about this, the debt, the 500 denarii is symbolic of the sins that we have committed against God, the God that loves us, the God that sent his only begotten son to die on the cross that we might have forgiveness of sin, but also to resurrect on that third day that we might be forgiven of those sins. So that 50 denarii represents the sins that maybe we have committed against other people, against man and mankind, as we say. Now, we may think that our sins against God are more significant and unforgivable, but every sin, big or small, is a debt that must be paid. Now, I think that statement right there warrants repeating, because too often we get into that categorization of sin. Well, this is worse than that one, and this is against God, this one's against man. But let me just say that to you one more time. We may think that our sins against God are more significant and unforgivable, but every single sin, whether it's big or small, is a debt that must be paid. Did you get that? A debt that must be paid. Both debts need to be forgiven, and it can only be done through the mercy and through the grace of God Almighty. There is nobody who is qualified other than God Almighty to be one to forgive us of our sins. We must come to God with a humble heart, acknowledging our sins against him and asking for his forgiveness. You know, a lot of people, if you've heard me on Sunday mornings, whether you've tuned into our Sunday morning service or maybe you've actually been present with us at Central Baptist Church on Sunday, you'll often hear me say when it comes time for the invitation that the invitation from God is not that, well, hey, I just went forward and I prayed with the preacher, or I checked on the card, or I did this or I did that, and that makes me saved. No, that's not what it's about. It's about having a personal walk and a personal relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. But what we must do, we have to do this. This is the critical element when it comes to salvation. We must come to God with a humble heart. We must acknowledge that we are sinners and that our sins are what's going to send us to hell. By the way, just one sin is all it takes to send you to hell. We're born with that sin nature. So we've got to go to God. We have to acknowledge our sins against him, and we need to ask his forgiveness. It's plain and simple. There's nothing that's difficult about it. So often what happens is people say, well, you know what? You just don't understand what I've done. I mean, how could God forgive me just by me simply asking? Well, that's because he is a good God. He's a holy God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. That list goes on and on and on. But I will make you this promise. You will not see the kingdom of heaven without asking God to forgive you of your sins. It's just not going to happen. Okay? So let's get back to our text for just a moment. In verses 42 and 43, we want to look at the second point I want to bring out today, which was the response of these two debtors. How did they respond with what took place? Now, how did each debtor look at the forgiveness of their debts? You know, when the person that they owed came and said, and it came to them, they said, hey, look, I can't pay you the 500 denarii back. And all of a sudden, the guy says, hey, look, don't worry about it. I know things have been tough for you. Don't worry. You don't even have to pay me back at all. Your debt is forgiven. Yeah, imagine how ecstatic that guy would have been. All right, well, think about the guy that owed the 50 denarii. The person he owed comes to him and he says, hey, look, man, I can't even pay you. I just don't have the resources right now to pay you back that 50 denarii. And the guy says, hey, look, man, I just want to help you out here a little bit. Don't you even worry about it. You don't have to pay me back whatsoever. Both of these men were probably very, very happy. But I would tell you, I think the guy that owed the 500 would be even more happy, because that was a greater debt that was forgiven. You see, the first debtor was grateful and loving toward the creditor, while the second debtor showed little love and little gratitude. You know, the first debtor was like, oh, thank you so much. Man, I tell you one thing, I just don't know what I would have done without this. I mean, my whole life is going to change because the blessing that you just bestowed upon me by forgiving me of that debt. And then the guy with the 50 is maybe like,
Well,
okay, I would have eventually gotten it to you, but hey, I appreciate it. Now I don't have to worry about that anymore. But you could see how one was a lot more grateful than the other, but you also see there was a huge difference in what each of those owed, okay? The first debtor understood the weight of his debt, and he responded accordingly. Let me say that again, because I think that's critical when it comes to you and I looking at the sins that we commit towards God and even towards other people. But that first debtor, the one that owed the 500 denarii, understood the weight of his debt and responsibilities, and he responded accordingly. Yeah. In other words, he was very grateful. He was very thankful. He knew the large amount that he had been forgiven, to the point that he realized that it was probably something that was going to change his life. Okay. Now, the second debtor did not fully understand the magnitude of his debt. He was just kind of like, okay, well, thanks. Appreciate it. You know, what more do you want? Well, you know, oftentimes it's just for somebody to understand the debt that they have been forgiven, okay? Those who realize the extent of their sins against God will respond with love and gratitude, while those who take their sins lightly will not fully appreciate the forgiveness that is given to them. Now, I know that you and I in our lives, we could probably sit back and think of some times when we responded properly in a situation like this. But I'm sure there's probably some times that we could think about where we did not respond properly. We weren't viewing things maybe the way that somebody else was. And remember what we're talking about, you know, today, do you realize the extent of the sins that you have committed against God that He has forgiven? You know, will you respond with love and with gratitude? Do you go to the Father and say, Lord, you know what? I understand. I don't deserve to be forgiven. I understand the magnitude of what I have done against you and how I have hurt you. But Lord, please forgive me. And when He does, just imagine, you know, the joy that comes into your heart, into your life, because God doesn't, you know, forgive with conditions. God forgives unconditionally. Now, there are also those who will sin, like the fellow in our illustration today in the scripture with the 50 denarii. There are those who take their sin lightly and don't fully appreciate the forgiveness that has been granted to them. And many of us have probably run into a circumstance like that before, when you forgave somebody of something and they're like, okay. And when they walk away, you were like, well, boy, I'll tell you one thing, that surely was ungrateful. If I'd have known they were going to respond like that, I'd have told them that they owe the whole thing plus some. Yeah, it just kind of irritates you because you realize the response wasn't one that showed gratitude for what had taken place. So how do we take these things that we're talking about, these points that we have learned from these few scriptures today, and how do we make application to them, okay? We must have a humble and a contrite heart when it comes to God's forgiveness. You know, we must always remember that our sins, no matter how small, have a significant impact on our relationship, not only with God, but also with other people. So when we think about that, do we care? Do we go through our day thinking about, okay, I'm trying to make sure I don't do things to offend God, you know, and I'm trying to make sure that I don't do things that are offensive to other people. Now, I'm not saying that you bend your life around to please everybody in that regard, because obviously we live in a world that doesn't love God. We live in a world that doesn't want anything to do with biblical Christianity or a biblical worldview. So obviously you're not going to bend what you do around them. But are you walking in the Lord? Are you walking on what the Word is telling you? Are you listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling you, and how the Spirit is leading you and how the Spirit is guiding you? And when we think about the things that we do, you know, our sins, because you know what? We can't make it through a day without having a sin in our life. I mean, hey, I'll be honest with you. I'll confess before you today. I thought of some things that weren't real pleasing to God on my travels to the church today, and how some of the folks around me were driving, and I'm saying that very kindly because they weren't driving very well, and how they were cutting me off and even putting me in danger at some point. And there were a few things that I thought that weren't pleasing to Jesus, okay? But we have to remember that our sins whether there's some big, gigantic sin, as you might score it in this life, or whether it is something that is small, that may seem insignificant to other people, they have a significant impact on our relationship with God and also with other people. Now, folks, I will tell you, as a born-again believer, if you are a true born-again believer, then you are not going to lose your salvation. The Bible tells us that. You know, you're not going to lose your salvation, but what you can do is you can break fellowship with God. Yet God can put you in time out, so to speak, you know, when you've done those things wrong and you haven't gotten the understanding and there's no confession of those sins. And God can say, no, I'm going to put you in the corner and I'm going to let you sit there and I want you to think about these things for a while. Now, there's forgiveness as well when we confess those things to Him, not only to Him, but other people. God says this. He says, you know, one of the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then he goes on and he says, the second is likened to the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, sometimes I see people that do a pretty good job in loving God, but they're not doing a really good job in loving their neighbor. I've seen that both ways. I've seen people who've done a really good job at loving their neighbor and not such a good job in loving God along the way. We like to see those two things come together. And realizing that along the way that what we do when we sin, whether it's against somebody here, I call that the horizontal relationships, whether we sin against mankind or whether we do something that's a sin against God, which I call a vertical relationship. All of those things will have an impact on your relationship with God and with other people. Okay, what is the biblical truth that we can glean out of this? That our response to God's forgiveness reveals our understanding of the weight of our sin. Let me give that to you again. Our response, or how we respond to God's forgiveness, reveals our understanding of the weight of our sin. You know, are we going to be like the guy that was forgiven of the 500 denarii and say, thank you so much, with a pure and a just and a right heart, understanding the sum that they have been forgiven. Thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for forgiving me of that 500 denarii. Are we saying that to God? Lord, thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I realize that my sin hurts you. I realize that my sin makes you look bad. And I realize, Father, that between me and you, I sin specifically against you, and that should break my heart, okay? What about our response and understanding the weight of our sins, not only to God, but also to other people, that horizontal relationship that I was talking about? Have you ever had that time when maybe you treated somebody like you shouldn't have treated them, and when you walked away from it, the Holy Spirit really convicted your heart? The Holy Spirit was going, listen, that's not the way my children act. That's not the way you should treat other people. That's not showing other people what I look like. You're supposed to look like me. So how are other people going to see me in you when you're looking like you do? And man, I'll tell you one thing, that's a big burden. Sometimes you got to go back and say, hey, look, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say what I said. I didn't mean to come across the way that I did. I am taking full responsibility for what I did, and I am coming to you, and I'm asking your forgiveness. Man, I'll tell you, that goes a long way. But here's the thing. Most people won't do that, okay? So how can we put these things that we're learning about today into action? We've always got to be able to make application to our life of the truths that we learn from the Bible for them to change our life, okay? So what's an action step? Well, we can strive to always have a grateful and a humble heart when it comes to God for forgiveness. When we go to Him, I mean, we need to go to Him humbly. We need to understand the weight of our sin and what it causes and that it really is a big deal. There's probably been a time in your life when you have tried to maybe correct somebody. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you had a child that you were trying to correct, and they were like, oh, okay, or whatever. And it just made you even more mad because you understood that they did not understand the gravity or the impact of the situation. You know, you're like, you don't seem to understand what you've done. You don't seem to understand what impact these things have caused. And you know what? It's when they understand it and they're humble in spirit and sit there and go, you know what, I never thought about it like that. I'm sorry about that. And I wish I hadn't have done what I've done. Then it's like the bell rings. You're like, okay, I understand. And they ask your forgiveness and you grant it. The hard part is when it doesn't appear that they seem to understand that they've done anything whatsoever wrong. So how do we put it in action again? Let's strive to always have a grateful and a humble heart when we come to God in regard to forgiveness. Okay? Now, as we look at this particular passage, both the debt of 500 denarii and 50 denarii were forgiven by the creditor out of the great mercy and the great love that he had. Now, we understand what love is. We define that all the time. And when we think about it, love is one of those things. You're like, okay, I get it. So he loved them, and that's one of the reasons that he forgave them. But he also was a merciful creditor. And what is mercy? Mercy means not getting what we deserve. The creditor had mercy on those who owed him. They didn't get what they deserved. Matter of fact, the one who took the biggest hit actually was the creditor by forgiving them of those sins. So, yeah, think about it for a minute. Whether it's the 500 denarii or the 50 that were forgiven by the creditor, it was done out of mercy and love toward those that were in his life. And in the same way, our debts of sin, no matter how big or how small they may seem to be, are all forgiven by God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So let us always remember that the weight of our sin it hurts God. And when we realize that the weight of our sin, we also need to respond with love and gratitude toward God as well as others that we come in contact with in our life. So I hope that when you look at that, you begin to understand the weight. You know, the guy that was forgiven the 500 understood what he had been forgiven of. It was a huge debt. The guy that was forgiven the 50 was like, oh, okay, thanks. He didn't understand the gravity, and the forgiveness didn't seem to him like it was quite as much as it would have been for the guy of 500. And when we look at it in the scripture, it's kind of interesting how the text for today kind of comes to an end. But what he says in verse 43 is this. He said, Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Well, what was the question? Go back up to verse 42. It said, and when they had nothing with which they could repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And then verse 43, Simon's answer was, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And then the answer to that was, you have stated rightly. And the reason why was because the man owed more. He understood the weight of the forgiveness, how much he had been forgiven overall. Now, there's something else I want us to glean from this passage before we close it out today. Because remember that when we started our Bible study, I talked about what the setting of this particular Bible study was. And I said it was a passage where Jesus is teaching on forgiveness as he's sitting there having a meal with Simon, a Pharisee, and an invited woman who is a sinner who came to anoint Jesus' feet. Now, what happened was, you know, when she came in there, as the story in the scripture goes, I'm going to go ahead and read to you at the end of the passage, because Jesus said something very important. This lady came in, and what she did was she began to anoint the feet, and all those that were around there started looking and saying, well, if Jesus knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. She's a sinner. Yeah, and how many times do we judge people in that regard? And we sit back and say, well, what is she doing here? Well, why did he come into church? And what's she doing here? Why are they in the presence of the Lord? Everybody knows what he or she's reputation is, and it's not a really good one. But Jesus had done a great work in the life of this woman. She wanted to be near, she wanted something different for her life, and she went to anoint the feet with Jesus. Now, it's very interesting that what took place, and we know the story where it says that what took place is she anointed his feet, and as she cried, as the tears came out of her eyes, the tears dripped on Jesus' feet, and she took her hair and she actually wiped the tears of herself off of the feet of Jesus, probably embarrassed. She was probably embarrassed that that had even happened, and because that was a big deal, you know. Women back in that day were not to have their hair down. Literally, for her to have taken her hair down in public was almost pornographic. Let's just say it that way. So, but she didn't care about what everybody else was thinking. She just wanted to honor and praise the Lord and offer something, offer what she could to Him. Now, I want us to look at something. Remember, we just went through talking about this forgiveness of sins. We talked about the great value of the 500 denarii being forgiven and the 50, and the one who kind of understood and had the humility and the other that did not. But then what happens in verse 44 is Jesus begins to point out this lady that's among them. Verse 44 says this, is then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head." Verse 45, "You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time that I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Now, I want us to go back and I want us to point out something in particular in this passage. And I've said this a lot around Central Baptist. I try to live my life by it as well. When you go back up there to verse 43, in the midst of him Jesus explaining this parable, he says in verse 43, verse 44, he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" In the midst of everybody already staring at this woman, in their mind, making a spectacle out of herself. It's like, she doesn't even deserve to be here. What is she doing here? She's come in here, and I'm embarrassed for her, was probably what they were thinking. And Jesus said something very, very interesting to Simon and to the Pharisee and to all those that were there. He said, "Do you see this woman?" He pointed her out. And then he went on with this list of things that she had done in a way or an act of worship that they had not done. You know, it's kind of like that, the proof's in the pudding. Don't show me lip service, show me with your life how to do these things. Don't just tell me what to do, show me how to do it. And Jesus begins to give this list of things that this lady has done that Simon had not even done. You know, he said, you didn't offer to wash my feet. That was custom and tradition back then, but yet she's here. You know, you had all the materials by which to do it. You had water, you had the basin. She came in, she's washed my feet with her tears. And she didn't have a towel. She dried the tears off my feet with the hair of her head. You know, she came in, she gave me a kiss. You didn't do that. You didn't greet me in that manner. Yeah, how many times do we sit back as Christians and we find ourselves sitting in the seat of Simon, and yet Jesus is saying something very loud and clear to us today? Do you see this woman? I want to ask you today, as you go about your life, is that what Jesus is saying to you? Is he saying, do you see that coworker? Do you see that neighbor? Do you see that friend of yours? Do you see the person at the drive-thru at the restaurant? Do you see the waiter or waitress that's waiting on you today? In other words, are you looking at them through the lenses of Christianity that Jesus has given you? And do you see them as sinners, either saved by grace or in need of being saved by grace? Do you share Jesus with them? How many times do we stop during the day and say, do you see that woman? Is that what Jesus is tapping on your shoulder today and saying, do you see her? Do you see him? Yeah, I think too many times we're so busy going about our work about day that we miss the divine opportunities that God puts in our place. Not too long ago, I had an opportunity. I had to make a run. I had to go pick some lumber up down at Red Springs Mission Camp, and I had to take it to a place near Asheville, just south of Asheville, North Carolina. And it's going to be a long day, so I left Greensboro, went down there, picked the lumber up. And I'm coming through this place on Highway 74, and I was hungry. It was past lunch, and I stopped. And I stopped at a Burger King and went in there. And as I went in there, I saw a lady, and the lady was in need. And she said, you know, she said, I'm hungry. She said, I haven't eaten in 3 days. She said, I've just recently, you know, gotten out of the hospital. I can't get my medication or anything else. And she said, is there any way you could help me? And at that moment, I realized that God had placed in my life a divine appointment, a divine opportunity. So I told her, and her name was Vicky. I said, yeah, Vicky. I said, I'll be happy to buy you lunch under one condition. And she said, well, what's that? I said, well, that you'll sit down and have lunch with me. And she said, okay. So we went up, we ordered our food, we went, we sat down. And I began to have an opportunity to hear about Vicky's life. I began to hear about what her circumstances and what her situations currently are, what they've been in the past. I got to hear about her family. She loved to talk about her children and her grandchildren. And the most important thing was we got a chance to talk about Jesus. And Vicky knows Jesus. And she said, you know, she said, I've been praying that God would help me in some way. And I got a chance to say, hey, look, Vicky, I want you to know how much God loves you. I said, I want you to know God loves you so much that he heard your prayer. He sent me from Greensboro, North Carolina, through Red Springs, North Carolina, and down 74 to this particular Burger King, not by accident, because he sent me here for you. He knew you needed a meal. He knew you needed somebody to talk to. And I said, so don't tell me God don't love you. She didn't. She knew he did. And she acknowledged God truly answered my prayer. But I said, I want you to see the extent he went through to get me to where you are. You know, the timing, everything had to have been perfect, and only God could have set that up. So I ask you today, and I want you to think about this as you go through your week. You know, I want you to hear my words echo in your ears throughout this week. Do you see this woman? And realize that the words that you're hearing aren't from me, they're from Jesus. He's asking you the same question that he was asking Simon and the Pharisee and the uninvited woman. Do you see this woman? I pray that you will see people in a different light as you go through this week, and that you will truly see the divine opportunities that God has for you. Always remembering the weight of the sin that he has forgiven each and every one of us from. And because of that, we should want to serve him. Not that we have to serve. We're not trying to gain points. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. But out of sheer thankfulness to the Father, we should want to become more like him. We should want to tell others about him. I trust and pray that that is what your week will hold for you. That's what I'm going to ask for here in just a minute when we close our time in prayer. But I want to go ahead and give you what our Bible readings for this week will be. This week, I want you to be reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. I think it's Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. It's Luke, chapter 10 is what it is, not 7, Luke, chapter 10. And next week, we're going to discuss the Good Samaritan, living out love and compassion in our lives. That comes out of Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. So spend a little time in those seven verses, but be familiar with the whole chapter. And that way, when we get into the Word, we'll all be right there together. Would you pray with me as we close our time together today? Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that you truly have forgiven us of our sins, and it is your forgiveness that allows us the opportunity to be able to not only see your face, but spend all of eternity with you in that place that you have gone to prepare for us. Now, Lord, I just ask that as we contemplate these scriptures and as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, that we first of all might understand the weight of the sins that we have been forgiven. And because of that, that we might have the right heart and the right attitude toward you. May we not be nonchalant about the sin against you and other people. And then, Father, as we go through our lives, may we truly be able to say, when you ask us the question, just like you asked the disciples in our passage, do you see this woman? Lord, I pray that we will be able to say, yes, Lord, we saw her or those neighbors and coworkers and friends and even strangers. We saw them through your eyes. And Lord, we saw what you wanted us to do as far as being instruments in your hand to bring about salvation in their lives. So Lord, help us this week to see the divine appointments that you've made for us all around. And Lord, help us step up to the challenge to be all we need to be for you. So Lord, right now, give us a great, great week and help us to honor and lift you up as only you can allow us to. But Lord, help us to do it in a way that's pleasing to you as well. As we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Hey folks, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge. I want to personally invite you to come join us for our service times. We meet every Sunday at Central Baptist Church, 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy, if you are familiar with the area. Our Bible study or our service time starts at 10:45 a.m. We do have other opportunities for discipleship throughout the week. There's a Sunday night Bible study. There's Awana for kids and youth. We've got all kinds of different things going on, but we would love to have you join us. Why don't you stop on by? Be sure to introduce yourself to me. My name is Pastor Roy. I look forward to seeing you Sunday. God bless you and have a great week. Thank you.